Hebrews 6:1. Paul is talking to the church, and he said, therefore, leaving. He doesn't mean departing from. He means going beyond. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us, and here's what, so you know that I know what I'm talking about, let us go on. Everybody say, go on. It's time to go on, church. Time to go on, musicians. Time to go forward, choir. Amen. Our youth pastor has exhorted us tonight that certainly God demands a new level of this church and this people. Amen. I'm not interested in the old routine of praying through and firing up, cooling down and losing out. That cycle of just repenting, repenting, and repenting. We ought to repent, get it under the blood. It is time to go forward. Let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, as Paul's saying, let's leave this doctrine of repentance and of faith. No. He's saying, once you get it, then let's go on. These are elementary level doctrines. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. That's a rhetorical statement. He knows God does permit. He's just putting that in there in a rhetorical manner, saying we are going. Because it is God willing. Amen. And I want you to notice in verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. If I could borrow a phrase from verse 2, and of the doctrine of laying on of hands. Out of all of these that Paul is talking about, all of this is foundational doctrine of the church. Remember this. Repentance is foundational. Faith in God, foundational. Some people thought that was a graduate course. It's foundational. It's elementary. Faith in God. Baptism. Both baptism in water as an outward sign of an inward work of grace, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go to Bible school for 6 years to figure out that God wants you full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so, a baptism of laying on of hands, which we is our subject tonight. Resurrection of the dead. I want you to know that elementary doctrine of the church is there is going to be a resurrection of physical mortal bodies that will be changed. Amen. Why, Brother Setzer, if when we die our spirit goes to be with the Lord and our body is given back to the dust and the dirt of this earth, why does God have to reclaim it if our spirit is already in heaven? I'll tell you why. Because every bit of His creation, He is going to those that He has redeemed, He will redeem us 100%. He is even going to come back and resurrect that mortal body, transform it into immortality. In fact, they get a head start on the raptured church of meeting the Lord in the air. Amen. So that's elementary doctrine. Amen. And eternal judgment. Do you know there is a real heaven and hell? Do you know that both are eternal? Do you know that you are never going to stop living? No matter what you do, you're going to live for eternity. You'll either live with Christ in heaven, or you'll live banished from the presence of God in hell for eternity. So these are all elementary doctrine. And so tonight, our subject is the doctrine, militant for the doctrine of laying on of hands. It is a New Testament Bible doctrine. I'm not going to talk to you tonight about the shadow and typology in the Old Testament of commanded blessing, of laying on of hands, of passing down generational blessing, of speaking unto your children a blessing and impartation into their life. I'm not going to talk about that. I merely want to stay New Testament tonight and tell you there is a New Testament doctrine of laying on of hands, and I feel real militant about it. I feel like that for a generation or better, Pentecostal churches got away from the necessity of the Holy Ghost, and along with it, they lost the doctrine of laying on of hands. Oh, they did it from time to time, more as a ritual than an experience. But I don't come to preach a dead ritual. I didn't come to preach religion to you tonight. I come to preach anointed by the Holy Ghost to tell you there is an experience that folks receive with the laying on of hands. It's New Testament. It is Bible doctrine. It is alive in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Now, there are four areas of laying on of hands in the New Testament, and you may break them down different. When you preach, then that's fine. But I'm preaching tonight. There are four areas. So for tonight, there's four. You know, somebody ask you how many? There's four. All right? And so I'm going to talk to you about those four areas of the doctrine of laying on of hands. Number one is receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, not everybody that receives the Holy Ghost receives it by the laying on of hands. But many do. It's not a necessity to receive your baptism with the laying on of hands, but I dare say that the majority of people in this building had somebody or several somebodies praying with you when you received the baptism. As long ago as a 10-year-old boy from where I am today, 39 years ago, is a long time. But I can tell you tonight that on one side of me was Sister Creekbaum, and on another side of me was Sister Williams. And both, I don't know who else was praying with me that night, but those two ladies was praying with me, and both of them had their hands on my head. And both of those dear old saints of God come up there to pray with this little 10-year-old boy. Don't never, 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 never denigrate the fact that when we have altar services, we need folks that'll come and lay hands on the heads of seekers. Those two ladies, one was on one side and one was on the other, and they were both speaking in tongues. I didn't understand anything that they had to say. I don't know what they were saying. I wasn't listening, trying to hear them. All I know, that night, on that Sunday night, when they touched their hands on my head, something opened up like a fountain deep inside of me, and rivers of living water, amen, out of my belly flowed, amen. And it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost as I began to speak in tongues, as the Spirit of God gave me utterance. Amen. Acts 8:17. The Bible says that there is a revival going on in Samaria. Philip went down and preached a salvation, a Billy Graham crusade, if you please. And the town started coming to Christ. Man, I mean, he preached great salvation messages, and everybody started getting saved. And then they were hungry when they got saved. They were thrilled with the conversion, but they wanted more of God. And so this new neophyte of an evangelist ran out of messages. He had preached all the salvation messages he had in his briefcase, and he said, "My, this thing's bigger than me. I need some help." And so he went back to Jerusalem, and he got the brothers to come, and he said, "We're having revival in Samaria. I've got them nearly all saved, but I need help. They want more, and I don't know how to preach the other messages." And so the Bible says that Peter and some of the other apostles came down, and they preached the Holy Ghost to them. They preached the Holy Ghost to them. And the Bible said in Acts 8:17, "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon," this man is a sorcerer, "when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power,'" power, everybody say power, "'that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.'" Of course, you know that they rebuked him and said, "You don't have no part nor no lot in this whole thing. Your heart is eaten up with bound with bitterness, and all you want to do is make money. We didn't come here to make money. We come here with the anointing on us, flowing through us." Do you understand that as a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, God wants to do more than just use and pray through you? He wants to gift you so that what you have in here can be transferred. It's called the ministry of transference, so that you can transfer what He's doing in you to somebody else. So these fellas come and preach Holy Ghost, had altar calls, started laying their hands on them, boom. After another, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at this, Acts 9:17. Paul, the fighter. Paul, the Christian killer. Paul, the church hater. Paul, the devil. Paul, the foul mouth. Paul, the cusser. Paul, the godliness hater, is on the way to Damascus to kill more Christians, and all of a sudden a light shines. He falls on the pavement of the road. God speaks to him and says, "Paul, you're not going any farther. You're going to turn around your life." And he said, "Yes, Lord, I'll turn it around." And the Lord said, "You're not going to be able to see, and they're going to lead you by the hands into the city. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have somebody there that's going to pray for you." In the meantime, in the city, Ananias is praying. And while he's praying, God speaks to him, verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house where Paul now is, to fulfill what God spoke to him in prayer." I want to tell you this. God don't speak a lot of things in prayer to you, but what He wants you when you get done praying, go do something about them. I'm tired of us sitting on our hands. God, oh hallelujah, pray for me right now. Who can, Brother Shannon, you a good actor? Just stay right there. All right. Brother Shannon's praying. And now this is so that people can understand. I know that we're not making fun at all, but the Holy Ghost is moving on you in prayer. Okay. And he starts speaking to him about a lady that's desperately lost. That has been to church a number of times, and we know's under conviction, and the Lord sends a burden, and the Holy Ghost is moving on him. The Holy Ghost is moving on him. Okay? And he's burdened and he's praying. And I mean, this is real. The Holy Ghost is moving on him. And then when he gets done, he gets him a seat and sets on his hands. and he says, "Oh, Lord, I wish that lady would. I really hope somebody gets a hold of her." No, sir. If God moved on you in prayer like that, if the Spirit of God is moving up and down, don't you pray for somebody else to go. Don't you even sit there on your hands. I want you to know the anointing goes from the head to the feet, according to David in the book of Psalms. And for it to get to the feet, it has to go over the hands. He don't anoint you to sit on your hands. He's anointing this church to do something with that anointing. And it's not to sit and say, "Somebody else go." It's say, "Lord, where are they at? I'll take this anointing there." So you don't have to wait. You don't have to fast 40 days. When the Holy Ghost has moved on you like that, get out of your seat and find that lady. You know what? He's already dealing on her end. And when you get there and you stretch that hand out, it may be to take her hand or it may be to lay your hand on her head. But I promise you, God's already prepared the soil of her heart. And all we need is the impartation of the miracle. And she's ready to get saved if you won't stand on your hands. And Ananias went his way. He entered into the house and putting his hands on him, Paul said, "Brother Saul," Paul, Saul the church hater, Saul the cusser, Saul the throw the Christians in church, Saul the reprobate in my mind, but he said, "Brother Saul." Some of you need to say, "Brother, son." Brother, brother, sister, daughter. You're coming home. My God, this Holy Ghost ain't on me. I ain't been praying in tongues for 2 weeks for nothing. I got this burden. I've been praying this through in the Holy Ghost. Sister, daughter, get ready. There's changes coming in your life. Drunkard, you're coming home. Drug addict, you're going to get free. Backslidden son, it's turning around. Wayward daddy, you're coming in. Lost backslidden mama, get ready, sister mama. You're coming to church with me. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest." He already had this. The Lord revealed this to him, what already happened in Saul's life. "Now he has sent me." I'm glad for people that get enough Holy Ghost boldness to quit this false humility that has stymied the work of God and say, "God sent me. He has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And Simon no more says that than he carries out what the Lord said. He put his hands on him. He got a miracle of eyesight and baptized in the Holy Ghost all at once. I'm just telling you, there is the doctrine of laying on of hands. Do you know that you can help somebody receive the Holy Ghost tonight by in faith putting your hands on their head and speaking that gift into them? Baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Ephesian church, Acts 9:6. Paul's down talking to a bunch of, I guess we call them Baptists at this time, they've been saved and baptized. He said, "Have you boys received the Holy Ghost?" They said, "We don't even know if there is any." He said, "All right, we're going to have Holy Ghost revival at the Baptist church." "Okay, are you ready for this?" They said, "Yeah, but at the Baptist church, we don't do that." "Well, I know, but get ready. Get ready. When you get what I got, you'll do what I do." Amen. Because that's what He does through you. And the Bible says in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them." When? When He laid His hands on them. and they spake with tongues and prophesied. It don't matter that they've been Baptist all their life. Paul said, I got something to give you. Do you understand this? I got something to give you. I'm tired of us sitting around saying, well, if the Holy Ghost comes by, hasn't He already filled you? He don't need to come by. He lives and dwells in you. We got to get this out. Well, if we sing Ain't No Grave 48 times and then jump up and down 16, maybe the Holy Ghost will come. He is already here, honey. I want you to know He came in me. He came in many, many of you. And what we need to know is that you can lay hands on somebody and then receive the Holy Ghost. In this church in the last few weeks. Tim Brookie, stand up. Tim Brookie received the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night. And Brother Hurst did a little teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, if you don't want to receive it, don't come up here. Don't waste my time. But if you believe the Lord's going to fill you, and will when we lay hands on you, then come on up here. And that night Tim come up here, and Brother Hurst and Brother Jeff laid hands on him, and I was standing there, so I know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost was poured upon him. That gift was received that night. And I don't know how many weeks ago that's been, but Tim has been a different person ever since then. Because now he's full of the Holy Ghost. And he received it that night when believers laid their hand on him. Amen. Amen. Number two tonight. Here's another part of the doctrine of laying on hands. It's consecration for consecration and service. Do you know that you should not attempt anything biblically? You should not attempt any work for God without having Holy Ghost believers lay their hands on you. Amen? You say, well, you know, I know. That's why I'm militant about this. We've let it slip until we have made it just some old dead ritual that we do every now and then. But I'm not talking ritual and I'm not preaching religion to you. I'm preaching experiential, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last day revival church that Jesus said He's going to jerk out of this world and leave a gaping hole that sin will fill when the righteous are gone. I'm telling you, there is a real doctrine of laying on of hands. The first deacons, Acts chapter 6, said, okay, we got a problem in the church. People's murmuring. They don't like what's going on. Okay, what is the problem? Well, we got widows and that's not being taken care of, and they were grumping and griping at Peter and James and John and them, and they said, you guys, and they said, listen, it is impossible for us to seek God and do the word and the preaching and the praying and the laying on of hands and to carry that out. Let's pick out seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to let them take food and run the Storehouse Saints program. I said, okay. Well, I thought you could, you know, I thought just taking food to somebody. You don't need to be full of the Holy Ghost, do you? Oh, yes, you do. You see, if I walk in this house and they send me, the church sends me to a lady that doesn't have food in her house and has a real need, I don't want to go in her house and carry a box of groceries and drop that off and say, you're blessed now, and run on my way. I'm taking some groceries, and that's carnal, and that's natural. But if all I'm going to go and do that, I could call a delivery service and have them do that, and it might be more economical. But I'm more than a delivery service. How How about let's do it like this? Let's get this sister and this sister, and let's get some food out of the storehouse, and let's get Deaconess Bonnie and Deaconess Missy, and let's get them full of the Holy Ghost. And when they go here, now they're going to knock on the door, and she's going to come. And you see, the devil is attacking this home, or it wouldn't be out of food. And so we don't need to just put food there for the devil to keep stealing. We need to take authority over the devil that's attacking the home, so they can go in there anointed, full of the Holy Ghost, and lay hands. I said lay hands on that sister. And I want to tell you, more than food, a deliverance can be brought to that home. Some of you need to know what I'm talking about. So they got those men, and they said, we're not going to send you to deacon. You know what that, I mean, let's literally. If Brother Allen is going to clear the sidewalks with the snowblower, and Brother Hayduck is going to plow the snow off the parking lot, I want to lay hands on those men and say, men, while you're doing it, or you say, let's just get it done, preacher. Why are you making such a big production? The township police officer may drive in. Lost and undone without God. And pull in to see what the lights are going back and forth across the parking lot. And stop the cruiser, and Brother Hayduck roll down the window, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, speak into him because he's empty and he's hurting. You say, I don't pay much. And I know. That's why we miss so many people. That's why they're still going to hell. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. That police officer start crying and say, I see you guys here all the time, and people at night praying, and my home's a mess and my life's a wreck. And sir, would you get out of that snowplow truck and come here and pray for me? Brother Hayduck undo that door and walk over there and lay his mammoth hands on her head. And all of a sudden, a police officer gets saved. You think it can't happen? The reason it can't is because we have left off the doctrine of laying on of hands. We just said, let's just run it. Let's just do it. This is just church. It's not just church. This is the last day. God wants people delivered. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas is being ready to be sent on a missionary trip. They don't say, well, at least you'll be in the sunshine. You get to vacation. I told Brother Bob tonight, I said, Brother Bob, the brothers in Nicaragua has booked us into the blue group, the blue goose. I told them in November when I was down there, I said, we're coming to Matagalpa in January for the national convention. And I said, the last time I was in Matagalpa, I stayed in the blue goose. The bed I slept on had 4 2x4s as legs. Had a 2x4 frame. Brother Chris, with a piece of 3/4 plywood laid in the bottom of it, and a sponge mattress. I mean, this is a hotel, $50 a night. And a sponge mattress laid on top of it. I told them, I said, get us a real place with real beds. And so they emailed me last week, and Brother Leo said, Brother Setzer said, right now the bandits and the robbers have been stopping people coming from the better hotel just on the outskirts of town. They've been robbing people, and several people have been killed, and it's just a bad in the area we're going. It's a real bad area, and so we booked you into the Blue Goose. I want to tell you something. If I was going on vacation, it would not be Nicaragua. That'd be the last place I'd want to go on vacation. The Blue Goose is not a honeymoon suite. I'm sorry. It is worse than a camp barracks. Amen. But nevertheless, they said, if we're going to send you out, we're not going to say, oh, have a good time. They said, you men come down here and stand in front of us. And the whole church gathered round. And certain men in that church come and anointed their hands and laid their hands on them. And they anointed them and said, when you go now, go in the anointing and the power of God. Amen. I want you boys that's working on learning to preach to know you need people to pray and lay hands on you time and time and time again. I was reading about one missionary the other day that while he was going to preach, he'd get a bottle of oil and he just kept anointing his head. There wasn't nobody else to pray for him, so he was anointing himself, and he kept anointing himself and praying for himself. I'm telling you, I believe in the doctrine of laying on hands. Timothy, both his anointing and giftedness come from laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Again, we are so far from what Pentecost ought to be, we wouldn't even say so-and-so received a gift by the laying on of my hands. But it happens. Paul didn't have a problem with saying it. I'm telling you, I'm not into big-itis. This isn't braggadocio. I'm not looking for big eyes and little use. But I am looking in this house, and God is looking in this house, and people just step up and say, I'll let God use me. And I want to tell you, when you really let God use you, you know more than anybody that it's God and nothing to do with you. All you are is the conduit. All you are is the vessel. And therefore, the pride factor is killed out. I want to tell you, if you ever let God use you, if you'll ever start believing what I'm preaching tonight and let God use you with the anointing and the laying on of hands, you will go through. You will go through a killing process to where you understand it is not you. It is not pride. If God don't do it, it won't be done. Thirdly, sickness and deliverance. Jesus said in the Great Commission, He told us to go into all the world. Mark 16:17, He said, when you go into all the world, this is what He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands. Well, I prayed for them at home. That ain't what the Bible says. Well, I got in my prayer closet and prayed for them. I want to tell you, I appreciate that. But while you're doing that, when you get anointed, then you got to do the follow-up ministry, and that's the laying on of hands. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When Paul received his sight, we already covered that in Acts chapter 9 when he received the baptism. He was also healed. But he was healed when Ananias laid his hands upon him. James 5:14, the pastor at Jerusalem said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Every obstacle to block the miracle of God can be removed. Every sin can be forgiven while they lay hands. Amen. And we humble ourselves, and therefore the way is clear for you to receive. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let the devil cheat you out of your healing. God wants to heal somebody here tonight, and it's going to come when anointed hands are laid on anointed heads. Get forgiveness of everything and get your healing. And then lastly, miracles. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, the apostles' Jerusalem ministry was explained like this. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs." Everybody say signs. "And wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them." How did they operate? The hands of the apostles, signs and wonders. Do you know that there is a laying on of hands, a transference of miracles, that comes from the laying on of hands, that is different than just than healing? Healing can be a miracle. It can be a process through the laying on of hands. But aside from that, a miracle. Let's say, I'm picking on these ladies up here because they're just handy. Let's say car payments due. There's no money. And we get us a little corner somewhere. And we cry and say, "Lord, don't you know the car payment's due and there ain't no money? Well, I prayed." Come on. No. You informed the Lord something He already knew. That's not praying. Explaining your situation, no matter how eloquently, to the Lord, He already knows about it from A to Z. So getting down and boo-hooing, you say, "I don't understand. I cried my eyes out and the Lord didn't hear me." Hear you what? All you did was tell Him what was wrong. He's already told you what to do. You got a need, so the car payment's due. "I wish I could get a church to this point. I really mean this. Help me out here. Put the Bible down. Keep your little notebook here. Come here." She got ready for church, and she took that car payment and that envelope and slipped it in her purse. And before she ever came to church, she said, "Lord, I'm going to take this tonight. I need a miracle." And whether the preacher ever said it or not, at altar time, she made her way up here. And maybe the preacher was over there praying with somebody, getting saved. She didn't say, "Well, it's not my night." And she reached around and got two or three ladies and said, "I've got something I need a miracle for." You don't have to tell everybody. Just hold an envelope up and say, "I got something here I need a miracle for. And I need God to answer by the 15th. And she held that in her hand, and a couple ladies got some oil. Listen, the mailman won't care. And GMAC or Ford Motor Company, they won't know the difference. And those ladies laid oily fingertips on that little envelope. And they prayed and laid their hands here. And while they were doing that, faith reached up and touched the throne of God. And some way or other, in the next few days, some overtime came. Or somebody that owed them money paid up. or this happened or that happened. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen from just boo-hooing about it, but by faith when we step out and say, I've had enough, I need a miracle. And somebody anointed that says, God, I know you're anointing me to transfer a miracle. That's how it used to happen all the time.